American Theater Wing's Tony Award goes to Laura Benanti, Gypsy.
Tonight.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Stoffa.
Our next guest is a multi-talented performer who won a Tony Award for her portrayal of Gypsy Rose Lee in the musical Gypsy. She's back on Broadway starring in the revival of the musical She Loves Me. She's also seen on CBS's Supergirl. It is great to say hello to Laura Benanti. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is quite a pleasure to have you on. You are able to float from the stage to TV flawlessly. So many different roles. I'm binge-watching Nurse Jackie again last night, and boom, there you are. You're all over the place. They are so different in so many different ways. I mean, acting on the stage, especially musical theater, and then working in episodic TV. How do you balance that, and how do you approach that as a performer?
Great question. For me, it's all about the truth, you know, it's all about telling the truth. It's just the difference is an energy. So when you're on stage, the energy, is a little bit more intense. You know, you're working a little bit more so that the back row of the audience, can experience your energy. Whereas on television, you really want the audience to come to you, and it's all about being as natural and realistic as possible. So, for me, it's all, you know, different shades. You know, it's the same paint, but just you're using, like, different shades of it. And certainly doing both, I think, has helped me become a better actor. And it keeps my brain moving, which is always nice.
So talk to us about the revival of She Loves Me. That's a pretty big show.
Yeah, it's a huge show. It's a really big thing for me. And it's, you know, we've had a few performances now, and audiences are just really loving it. It's so funny and touching, and for me, it's so wonderful to get to sing in my soprano voice, which is, you know, how I was made to sing, and then also be funny and moving at times. So it's really a dream come true for me.
We are both in the New York City area, and we're both saying how we want to see this, because I love revivals. I just love the different take on some of the older classic musical selections that they've done on Broadway. So this sounds like a really, really neat show. You made it to Broadway when you were only 18. You're a Jersey girl. There you are, just a few miles away from the Great White Way. You're 18, and you're working on Broadway. Tell us how that all came about.
Well, when I was 16 years old, I played Dolly Levi in Hello Dolly at my high school, but up the octave, because I'm a soprano, so it was like, I'm going to raise the roof, I'm going to carry on. It was ridiculous. and yet, somehow, I managed to win. Paper Mill Playhouse is a wonderful equity theater in New Jersey, and they have something called the Rising Star Awards, which is essentially like the Tony Awards for high schools. And so I won their very first Rising Star Award for this ridiculous performance as Dolly Levi. And then they put me in two shows there at Paper Mill Playhouse, where I then got my equity card. And in 1997, there was to be a revival of The Sound of Music on Broadway. And Jay Binder, the casting director, called Paper Mill and said, do you have a recommendation for Liesl? I was 17, so they recommended me. And very, very long story short, many auditions later, I ended up understudying the role of Maria, the Julie Andrews part. And then when the actress Rebecca Luker, who played Maria, when she left the show, I took over, and I, at 19, played Maria opposite Richard Chamberlain.
That's amazing.
How amazing is that? You know, if you're just
pretty incredible.
Isn't that incredible? Because and then you're standing there and you're thinking, wait a minute, you know, this is miles from Paper Mill. This is miles from my high school. There are people that dream for that to happen for decades and decades and decades. And for you, it came so fast.
It did. And you know, it's funny because I think because I was so young, I didn't have the adequate appreciation for how extraordinary that was and how lucky I was and how blessed I had been. And it was only a few years later that I realized, oh my goodness, I'm so lucky, I'm so blessed that that's how my career began. That is not, that's a very unusual story, and I have so much gratitude for it now. I feel very lucky that at 18 years old I was able to realize my dream. You know, I didn't grow up wanting to be famous. I grew up wanting to be on Broadway, and there's a difference.
Sure.
And
it is,
you know,
different.
The fact it's very different. Yeah, I mean, especially in this Kardashian age of, you know,
exactly
being
right.
famous for who knows what.
Right, for nothing.
You know, truly for literally nothing. for me, it's even more and more about not being famous, because anybody can be famous. You can be famous for basically being the lowest common denominator version of yourself.
That's a really good point.
And that's what it is these days.
It's sad to me. Yeah, it really is. It's like, who can embarrass themselves the most? You know, and with reality television and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I could go on and on, and I sound like my grandma, who's an incredible woman. But, you know, for me, being on Broadway with people who have actual talent given to them by God or the universe or whatever you want to call it, who work so hard to make very little money. You don't do it because you want to be famous. You do it because you love it, and you do it because you can feel your heart beating at the same time as everybody else in that audience. And to me, that's ancient and beautiful. To me, it's like, you know, sitting around a campfire telling stories like we've been doing for thousands of years. So I'm just so thrilled to be back home on Broadway where I belong.
Loving your art and practicing your craft, and it's an amazing thing. It really is.
So you obviously you obviously prefer performing in front of that live audience and having that energy from them.
I do. I don't want to say prefer, because I don't want to, you know, look at the other blessings in my life and poo-poo on them, because I have loved being on television, and I'm so grateful for the opportunities that that affords me as well, including, you know, having people come to see me on Broadway who didn't even know what a musical was, but they just liked me in Supergirl.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, so for me, I feel like television is a great way to flex my muscles and also to become more of a known entity, to bring awareness to theater, which I love so much. And I wrote a song called I Like Musicals, that if you go on iTunes and buy it, all the proceeds go to VH1 Save the Music to keep music education in our public schools. And for me, it perfectly explains what it feels like growing up feeling a little bit different and a little bit other and not being the cool kid. You know, and I wrote it for kids like me growing up who just thought, oh man, I'm never going to be cool, and there's a better thing than being cool and it's figuring out who you are and being the best possible version of yourself. So
you're such a role model.
Really?
I'm like feeling inspired right now.
No, a down-to-earth performer.
And, you know, not kidding.
And really, a true artist that understands that there are people that will work for years and years and years practicing their craft because they love it and because it fulfills them and because they know that. And you have to be a performer to understand this, that when you stand on the stage and you face an audience and when you're in front of a camera, the feeling that you get inside is unlike any feeling in the world, and it's the only way you can satisfy that. It's this inner fire, and it never ever goes out.
Yeah, it's really true. And for me, the key is that it can't come from ego. You can't be a for me, I don't want to be a performer who's performing so that you clap for me or so that I become rich and famous or somebody tells me I'm beautiful. For me, it's an expression of gratitude. You know, it's an expression of gratitude for the gifts that I've been given and for the fact that there are people out there who take the time and the money and the energy to watch what I'm doing. And for me, it's about them. And I hope that they receive the love that I am giving to them, whether it be through a camera or right there in a Broadway house.
So let's bring it to the TV side of things right now, because you're on Supergirl. Which is totally exciting, by the way. So talk to us about your experience with that. You're Alora Zor-El?
Yes, and Astra, who is her evil.
Yes,
or
the evil
so
twin
evil,
sister.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard the role described, and I think even by you, as downright, quote-unquote, badass.
Oh,
tell
yeah.
us about that.
Yeah, she's pretty badass. You know, I don't want to spoil anything for you if you haven't seen it, but she is basically like an eco-terrorist, essentially, where she watched, you know, Krypton explode because of the misappropriation of natural resources, much like we're doing to our own Earth. But the way that she goes about trying to save everyone is probably not the best. Mind control, you know, well-intentioned mind control, but mind control nonetheless. So I've had a wonderful time on that show. You know, I love Melissa Benoist, who plays Supergirl, so much, and my pal Jeremy Jordan is on there, and Shyler Lee, and just so many, David Harewood, so many wonderful actors, and the producers are dear friends of mine, people I've known for a really long time. So when Greg Berlanti asked if I would play this dual role, I immediately told him I had to do She Loves Me, so I could only do 13 episodes. And he said, don't worry, we'll figure it out. So I've been really lucky in that I've been able to you know, be on Nashville and be on Supergirl on these fantastic shows, but then also make time for the thing I love, you know, the most, which is theater.
Sure. One last question. Dream collaborations. Yeah. Anybody, living or dead, you'd want to work with on stage or on screen?
Julie Andrews.
Yeah.
Of course.
Let's see that. Yeah. Aim high. That, exactly. So,
can you see them doing a duet or something?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh, the Hills
gosh.
Are Alive.
My goodness.
Cry. I have chills even thinking about
see
it.
See that? That would be quite a combination. Well, once again, if you're in the New York City area, you can catch her on Broadway and She Loves Me, as we both plan to do, and on CBS's Supergirl on TV anywhere in the world. Laura Benanti, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to seeing you when you come to the show.
Oh, terrific. Awesome.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki.
I'm Christina Stoffo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend. Think green. Harrison with you. Regulating greenhouse gases is actually worth money. Believe it or not, regulating greenhouse gases will generate a fortune. So who should get it? The cap-and-trade climate change bill looks to create an estimated $150 billion in the first year it takes effect. Then within 40 years, greenhouse gas regulation should generate $3 trillion worth of value in the United States alone. So where should that money go? A coalition called the U.S. Climate Action Partnership, curiously consisting of GE, General Motors, Ford, DuPont and Shell, Duke Energy, Florida Power and Light, and Pacific Gas and Electric, will meet to lay claim on all this free money. But should it go to utility and oil companies, or to government investments in new technology, along with the customers who'll be facing rising rates? We'll keep you informed.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Chubby Checker started a dance craze with The Twist. It's the only song to hit the Billboard Hot 100 twice.
But here's something a lot of people don't know. It wasn't a Chubby Checker original. He covered it.
The Twist was originally recorded by Hank Ballard. So why did it launch Chubby Checker to stardom?
One word. Marketing. He was seen performing the song on all the hit shows of that day.
You need talent to be a big success. But if no one ever sees you using it or hears about how wonderful you are, you'll go nowhere.
There are two parts to big success, doing the work and spreading the word about the work you've done.
So draw attention to the great work you do. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.